So we're doing in Mayit Katan, we're doing on Tesam at Beis, and we're up to explaining the Mishnah, V'osa Isha Tachshitaho. So basically, the Mishnah is continuing to discuss the things that you can do during the Chol HaMoed, even though it involves some sort of a work, some sort of an effort, you know, on Chol HaMoed, one should not really do things that, you know, distract from the holiday. But Oise Isha Tachshitaho, that means that a woman may do all of her cosmetic treatments. That's what the Mishnah said. What exactly are the treatments that we're talking about? So, Tana Rabbanon, we learned...
I'm surprised any rabbi knows what a woman's doing there.
What?
I'm surprised if anyone knows what all those things are.
Ah, yeah. Well, today they have a whole industry, you know, more than an industry. So what are the things that we're talking about? Elu hein tachshitei noshim. So the following are the various types of cosmetics. So first we have koicheles. What is koicheles? That is a kind of a paint. They paint their eyelashes. Noisenes kichoil bein eineho. They put this kichoil paint between her eyelashes. I guess you know what they do. I'm not even sure the exact names for the different cosmetics treatments. And Rashi says kicheles noisenes kichoil bein eineho. She puts the paint in between her eyes. That means the eyelids. Kidei shedoymos noim. So they should look beautiful, I guess. Doymos noim. The other thing is poikesis. Poikesis is called remove. Or Rashi says, you know, when you make the hairline on the hair, part of the hair goes one way. Rashi says, poikesis mechaleke sairo lekan ulekan. She splits the hair here and here. I think that's called, what do they call that when they make the line in the hair? I'm not sure.
A part.
A what?
A part. P-A-R-T.
A pult. Okay.
Part. P-A-R-T.
Okay. So then, and further, umaviro serak al poneho. That's kind of a, I guess, it's a kind of a drug to make it gives the face like a reddish look. Rashi says, umaviro serak al poneho. Rashi says, what is that? Sam echod kidei shetiro adumos. Some kind of a drug, so that she should look red. She gives her a reddish face. It's some makeup, I guess. It's makeup, yeah? Some makeup. Veikodamri, other people. So these are all things that they allowed to do it. Allowed for her to do it. Koicheles, pekesis, umavirus, rak al poneo, to paint, to basically... put makeup on the face. And Rashi says, I guess reddish is a kind of a what they used. The iko de amris maveres serak al poneo shomato, that it's talking about removal, the pubic hair is talking about sochin al poneo shomato, kidei lahavir sar shomato, to remove the hair below. Okay. So now the Gemara has an interesting thing. The Gemara says, the visu de Rav Chisda, the wife of Rav Chisda, Mikashto be'anpikalto. So she would adorn herself in front of her daughter-in-law. And this was on Chol HaMoed. Now, if she had already a daughter-in-law, it means she had a married son. So she was already a woman in the Middle Ages, right? So she adorned herself in front of her daughter-in-law. And she used, Rashi says, Hoiso mikashto. How? Rashi says, Kihani kishutin kidomar hocha. Those were the adornments, the cosmetics that we said over here. So she used that on Chol HaMoed. And why does it say in front of a daughter-in-law to tell you that she was already a middle-aged woman? She already had a daughter-in-law. She had a married son. Rashi says, "Ba'anpe kalta," in front of her daughter-in-law, "Shehoiso kal kach skena," she was already so old, "Shehoiso lo kalo," that she already had a daughter-in-law, "She Yeshes beno," which was a son, which was a wife to her son. And I guess Rav Huna Bar Chinino, he didn't think that older women, he think this is something for newly married women, that you allow them to adorn themselves because they're still into beautifying themselves. But once she reached the age that she already has a daughter-in-law, he didn't think that that was permitted to do these cosmetics. So Yosef, Rav, what? Look, you like what
they call... Is he married?
Good question. So Yosef Rav Huna Bar Chinino Kameid Rav Chizda. So Rav Huna Bar Chinino was sitting in front of Rav Chizda, meaning Rav Chizda was the teacher, and he was sitting in front of him. The Yosef Ka Omar, and he was he sat and he said that Loishonu Hod Loishonu, that this that you allowed, Loishonu, we did not learn, this is the Mishnah said, Loishonu, Hod Omar Oise Iso Isha Takshito, this that the Tana said in our Mishnah, that a woman can do her cosmetics, Eloyaldo, this is only talking about a young woman, Eloyaldo, Rashi says, Bachura, a young woman, Shedarko Bekach, who normally does it. Ulehochi Havilo Simcha B'moyed. And that's why for her, that's considered a joy during Chol HaMoed. The reason we allow to do it is because you're talking about a younger woman, and she normally does cosmetics, and therefore we allow it in Yom Tov because it's a Simcha for her. Avol Zkeina Loy, but an older woman, they're calling her Zekena just because she has a daughter-in-law, so she was 40, you know, I mean, they don't consider that Zekena like. So, basically, so what was his argument? I was Zekena law. The Heichi of the Ishtcha Hochi. How could your wife be doing this? The Mekashta, that she is adorning herself. Ha'havi Zekena, but she's older already. We're not allowed to do by an older woman. So he says, no, I disagree with you. Omar Lei, Holy Kim, I swear, he says. Afilu Imcha, not only your wife, even your mother, which is older than your wife, okay? Vafilu Imedi Imach, even your mother's mother. He says, Vafilu Imedes Al Kivra, she's so old that she's standing at the grave. She is still allowed to adorn herself. Afilo emetes al kivra, pesach kivra, shario lihiskashet, is permitted to adorn herself. Why? So he says like this, da'amri inshi, because this is what people say, bas shitin, ki bas shit, lekol tavle rota. A 60-year-old is like a 6-year-old that will run rota lekol tavle to the sound of the bells that are ringing. A 6-year-old will run equal to a 6-year-old. Lekal tavla rota. What does it mean? Meaning, they consider they don't get old. You know, they need to keep on doing the jewelry and the everything else that they want to use for cosmetics and to adorn themselves. Rashi explains the kol tar l'ra'ato pirush kishkush hazug. When the bell bangs, Ritzon Elohim, what he's talking about, mine zemer bihilula. When there is a party and there is different types of instruments singing, they run there. So we say, v'chehei chaderato yaldo bas shit l'kol hilula, just like a six-year-old runs to this sound that there's a party going on. So does a 60-year-old do. And therefore, so here too, she can adorn herself. She can use the cosmetics. So we disagree with him. Sounds, by today's practices, we know that he's actually right, Rav Chisda, right? That's the practice is that it's that way. Okay. So now, Rabbi Yehuda says, specifically, he says that a woman, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Loi Tosud, she should not apply lime. Because what happens, the time that they put the lime on, again, at that time she doesn't look well at the time with the lime. They do it because later on it should look better, or I think it removes some of the hair, but the actual time when the lime is on the face, that's something which is uncomfortable. So Tanya, okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says no, that she's not allowed to do, because she is causing herself distress during the Chol HaMoed. Tanya, we learned in the Braise, Rabbi Yehuda says, Isha loy sosud, a woman should not put on the lime, mipnei shenivul hu lo, this is something because that it's a disgrace for her, nivul hu lo, shegnai hu lo, it's embarrassing for her, v'nivul b'sid, and this is a disgrace with this lime, u'mitzta'eres b'sid, and she's in pain. So I guess two things, nivul hula means it causes her distress because it causes her a disgrace, and also she's in pain, it's not not comfortable. However, he agrees that what happens if she already has lime on her face, she's allowed to peel it off. And Rabbi Yehuda does agree, while he doesn't allow to apply the lime, but he agrees that besid sheyecholo lekaploi b'moyed, that she is able to peel it off in the intermediate day of the festival. Okay, we have somebody else coming on. Hi, Ron. All right, we're in the middle here.
Good evening, I got a line.
Okay. All right, so he says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the lime, that she is able to peel it off during the holiday, so I'm not sure In other words, sometimes you put a lime that is not removable, so it stays on the entire time. So that causes the stress. But if it's a kind of a lime that she's able to peel it off during the intermediate days, so then, because the result is she choyle lekapel b'moyed, Rashi says, af al pi shehi menuvelas b'seed, even though right now she is disgraced with the lime, she toiflose b'moyed, that she is allowed to apply it on the holiday. She may apply it on the Chol HaMoed. Why? Why? She'af al pi. So that is permissible with the kind of a lime. Why? He gives the logic for it. Why? She'af al pi she'matzira hi'achshov. Even though right now she's in pain, because the lime on her face is not comfortable, simcha yilacher zman. She is happy later on, and therefore, go ahead, it's okay to do so. So basically, to put up lime that she can't peel off, that's not allowed on intermediate day. But to put on lime that she's able to peel off during the Chol HaMoed, then it's okay because there's a benefit later on. So here we learn an interesting principle, that even though it's something that you're not comfortable with right now, but if at the end it's going to make you comfortable, then that is going to be acceptable. So the Gemara challenges this, Umi Islay L'Rab Yehuda, does then Rabbi Yehuda hold such a kind of a logic that if she is in pain now or she's upset now but she's going to be happy later, that should be okay? That afal gav shehi mitzira achshav smecha v'chulu, that although she's in pain now, she's happy for later on, that this is a logic to allow it. But this goes against another halacha that Yehuda said in the Mishnah. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Nifroi mehen mipnei shemeitzar." Here the issue is, we're talking about the non-Jewish holiday. And the question is, what kind of interaction business can you do with the during their holiday? So if they owe you money, so Rabbi Yehuda says, you can collect from them. You can collect the money that they owe you because it causes them distress. Why does it cause them distress? Because they have to pay up, you know. Nobody's happy when you have to pay money. So for the goy, during their holiday, to pay up is permitted because you're not making him happy in their holiday. Usually you try to refrain from things that make them happy so they praise their God. But this is not making them happy. This actually makes them, stresses them. And Rashi says, "Nifroi mehem mehakusim b'yom chagom," from the kusim during the day of their holidays. Why? Mipnei shom mitzayer, because he is causing them pain. He's distressing them. The chol odom shepereya meitzer, because anybody who has to pay is upset. Nobody wants to pay up. However, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to pay them a debt. Avaloi mishalmim lahem moment b'yom chagom. but you cannot pay them money on their holiday. You can't pay a debt on the holiday of the goy. Why? Because you're rejoicing them in the days of their holiday. And then they thank their idols that they're worshipping. As explained, you don't want to give them a reason to be happy. If you pay them the debt, they're going to be happy, and then they're going to praise their God for their happiness. So you don't want to give them the opportunity. But you are allowed to pay them. He disagrees with the Chachamim. The Chachamim says not only can you not pay them, you're not allowed to even collect from them. Why? Because there's a certain joy. Oh, I paid off my debt. You know, you got rid of the debt. That gives you... So while you may be distressed right now, you don't want to pay, but once you paid off, you say, okay, I paid off. So there's a sense of joy there too. As Rashi says, explains the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amru loy, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, afal pi shemeitzer achshov someach ulachar zman. Even though right now he's distressed because he has to pay, but he's still happy later on. After he's up, he got rid of the debt. And you're not allowed to do it on their holiday to make them happy. Well, the happiness is not now. The happiness will come later. But still, the payment now makes them happy later. You're not allowed to do it now. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about it. Rabbi Yehuda holds that right now he's distressed. Don't do it. You can't pay. So how come Rabbi Yehuda allows them to use the lime? Because they can peel it off later. They'll be happy later. But right now they're distressed. So that should be the svar of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see what Rashi says. So meichu l'achar zman shepor aloy, that he paid it. V'amai nifra mehem. So why does... So he says, after he's happy that he paid, and therefore, he says, so why do you collect from them? In other words, collecting from... why would he allow you to get paid from them? Because that's the opinion of the Chachamim. He should not get paid from them because he's causing him joy, the Chachamim say. Even though Meitzar, but the bottom line is that he's happy that they paid, so why should you collect from them? That's why the Rabbanon say, no, you're not allowed to even collect from them. Abul Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. Loi islei ha'isvore, he doesn't hold his svore, because he holds the Meshum Shemeitzar Achshom Shori, because right now, he is in distress, he allows you to collect from him. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care that later on he's going to be besimcha that he got paid the... So he doesn't look into the future. So how does it hold this svore? When it comes to the cosmetics, the procedure of putting the lime on, and he says... Although she's right now in distress, she's happy later on. So why does Rabbi Yehuda allow over here, because of what she's happy later on, even though there is a distress right now? So Amar Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchok, And we'll tell you, in the end, we'll finish this piece of Gemara. I will share with you, this is actually also a machlokas between usually Beshamay and Besila. I'll give you an example, whether we go, the issue is here, do we go by the present or whether we go by the future? According to this halacha, according to the Rabbonon, it looks like in this halacha here, we'll go by the future, even though right now it's a distress, but he enjoys it later, it applies now. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we go by what it's now. We have to see, give you another example, but over there it's Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, but halachas like Beis Hillel, we'll have to make a distinction over here. But let's wait, I just want to finish the piece. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, "Hanach lehilchis moyed, leave alone the laws of chol hamoyed," which means they have their own. The laws of chol hamoyed over there, we have a different gauge. We gauge by the laws of chol hamoyed what happens in the future, because technically, all of the work we do in Chol HaMoed, doing the work is not enjoyable. Standing in the kitchen and cooking on Chol HaMoed is not enjoyable. But it's all for the future. You'll have a nice meal. So that's why we cook and we do everything. So basically, all of Chol HaMoed is to do things that are maybe right now difficult, but we take into consideration what happens, and that's why we allow for this as well, even though we won't allow to get paid from the goy because of what the future, but over here it's different. Hanach lehilchus chol hamoed, lahochi omar Rabbi Yehuda chadashori, afal pishim etzira chulu. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says over here that you're permissible to put on the peeling lime, even though she is distressed with it. Why? The kulu meitzar achshav. Because all of the laws of Yom Tov are all like that. Right now you're distressed, and then later on you're rejoicing. So Rashi says, the kol hilchus moyet, the shori, all the laws of Yom Tov that we permit is mishum haytaima nami shori. That's for that reason. It's the result. Why do we allow to do any malachas on Yom Tov? Because of what is going to take place later on. So he says, Kigoin, let's say for example, afi or bishul, to bake or cook, the metzayir hashtok shoyful mevashul, that right now when he's cooking and he is baking, so the person is in pain, he's distressed, doesn't want to cook. Ulachi sharach, shari, but why do you allow it? The sameach ukshehu oichel afi yusir b'shulu b'yom tov, because he's happy when he ate what he baked and what he cooked on Yom Tov. So that's why, even on, so it looks like not even on Chol HaMoed, this is even on Yom Tov itself, we allow you to do work. We can do work on Yom Tov because of the result of Yom Tov. So therefore, the status of Chol HaMoed is different. That's why we'll allow you to do things even though you're stressed out now for the benefit of later on. But that doesn't mean that we always take in the future into consideration. That's why by the case of paying up, collecting from the Goy on his holiday, Rabbi Yehuda will not allow it. We'll allow it. In other words, he doesn't hold that the future right now. We just go by now. But by Chol HaMoed, he looks into the future and he says that because she's going to be able to be happy later on, she can do it right now. And Ravino Omar. He says that actually, goy li inyan piroin lo meitzer. you're not causing the goy any happiness. When we talk about a goy, when it comes to paying, he's always going to be distressed. There's no happiness there, like we said before, oh, I paid up my debt. So therefore, he doesn't have to worry. He disagrees with the Chachamim. They say you're not allowed to collect because the goy will be happy later on. He doesn't believe the goy will be happy later on. He says, goy li inyan piroyim la'olam meitzer. He's also always going to be in distress. Kusi la'olam meitzer. Zaktrashi shepareya. He'll always be distressed that he has to pay. Ulahachi la'islay l'Rabbi Yehuda hosom. That's what Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold over there. Even though he's distressed, he's also happy. He doesn't hold that. He's never going to be happy. And that's why he's not allowing you, that's why he's allowing you to collect your debt. He says the guy is always upset. But before, when we talk about the treatment of the lime, Isle the Rabbi Yehuda, over there Rabbi Yehuda holds, Afa Pisha Metzira Akshav, even though that presently she is distressed, Smecha Lacharzman, she's happy later on, and that's why he also takes in to the consideration the status, what she will feel later on, right now. All right, let's do a little bit. This is a little bit of a graphic Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, Benois Yisrael Sheigiu Lepirkon. Jewish daughters that reach the puberty, basically, and they are showing signs of purity, but they're not yet of age. And specifically, you know, there is the laws of the here. So Rashi Shigil Pirkom Liseyor, but Vlayigil Lishonim, but they're not yet 12 years old. So they're not considered yet to be, they're still minors, and they're not considered matured, but legil shonim zaktrashi she'enam bnois yudbeis shono v'yom echad. They are not yet 12 years in one day. Shadayin einoy din sheyehelohem sar. They still don't have. They should not have yet. They went in advance. They should not have yet here. Uboishes al kach. And they are embarrassed to them. So what do you do with it? So Aniyos, the poor one, Teuflis Oison Besid. The treatment is you put the lime on them. Rashi says, if you put the lime, that removes here. Aniyos Teuflis Haseyor. You treat the hair besid with lime. Umashira soism, and they have the hair, they make the hair fall down. Ashirais, what about the wealthy ones? They can afford more. Teuflis oisum besoilus, they get the treatment with fine flour. I guess that also removes the hair. Benois melochim. Daughters of kings, meaning very important. They use shemen hamoir. What is the oil? The moir shenemar, like we say, shisha chadoshim b'shemen hamoir. That's in the Megillah by Esther. I guess that's to remove the here. So, what is Freidi Gemara? My shemen hamoir. What is the Shemen Amor? So Rabbi Huna Bar Chiya Omar, that he says it's a perfume which is called Sateket, Sateches. Rabbi Yimre Ben Ami Omar, he says Shemen Zayis Shaloi heavy shlish. That's olive oil that has been extracted from a olive that has not yet ripened. A third of it's not yet, it's still unripened. Only less than a third. So, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so Rabbi Yehuda says, an pikinun. Sometimes we find in the Mishnah the word an pikinun. So he says, like in the Menachos, Hainu ad pikinun diktoni osu b'menachos. We find in the Gemara Menachos Pe'ev and Beis an pikinun lo yovi, that you're not allowed to bring. That's we're talking about. You need the oil to bring together with the mincha. You can't bring an pikinun. What does it mean? Hainu osu shemen shoyisim mezesim. That is the oil you make from the olive, but it's shemen zayis shaloi. Heavy shlish. It's olive oil that has not yet come from an olive that has not been a third. Shloi heavy shlish, which means shloi bishlu shlish. They haven't ripened yet a third. The lomo sochinoisim. So now, why do we smear all these different things we were talking about? The lime or the fine flour or the oil. The ampikin this. Less than a third ripe. Why do we do that? Zok the Gemara shemashir es hashar umaaden es habosor, that drops the here and it makes the skin smooth. Umaaden es habosor. Okay. So the Gemara says. Rabibi Havale Brata, Rabibi had a daughter. And Tofla Aver Aver. And she did one limb at a time that she used this treatment, one at a time. So Shokalbo Arba Meizuza. So that made the hair and her body, everything. She looked much more beautiful and she looked so better. So he went and he took from her husband Shokal Bodal Meizuza for giving him such a beautiful wife. So he took from her husband, he took 400 zuz because she became so much beautiful through this treatment. Rashi says, Shokal bo arba meizuzah, she nisyapis, because she became beautiful, v'notal mi bailokach, and then he took such from her husband. So the Gemara says, there was a goy, habe hahu goy. There was a goy, bishivivuse, in the neighborhood. The havali brat, she also had a daughter. And what she did was, instead of doing one part at a time, Tofla Bechad Zimna, she did the treatment at once, Vamesa, and she died. It was too much, that was too hard treatment, do it at once. Omar, he says, Kotlo Bibi Librati. Bibi, not to mix it up, Bibi, because Rabibi was, he says, he killed my daughter because I learned from him that he went and his daughter, she did a treatment one limb at a time. But he did the whole thing altogether. So that wasn't a good choice, I guess. Okay, we'll leave it over here. But I just wanted to share with you, actually, from the Rebbe's Sicha, this has to do with the Gemara Menachos also, which talks about the Mincha, about in the Parsha. So just this whole idea do we go by the present, or we go by the future? Over there in the Mishnah, there is actually a machloikis. And it's interesting, like over here from the Gemara, you see that according to all opinions, the Gemara later on, the second opinion, we would always take into consideration what happens in the future. So like we're saying, that even though right now you're in pain, but it makes you beautiful, you can do so. So you're actually enjoying now the future. Almost like saying you're going to exercise, it's hard, but then you enjoy because you're enjoying the hardship because you're losing weight or it's healthy. So it's, but even though right now it's pain, but we don't consider that pain because of the future. You know, person goes on vacation. It's, you know, more comfortable at home, but it's a little more fun to go on a trip, right? So it's sometimes the future enjoyment overtakes the present. But over there in the Mishnah, there is a question which is Rebbe shows in another sikh and various places in the Gemara. Do we consider the present now, or we go by what it's actually now? Over there, they're talking about the laws of Tumah for honey. Now, there's a special law of Tumah for liquid. Honey is considered a liquid, but it's only a liquid once it's been extracted from the comb. While the honey is still in the comb, it's considered to be a food, not a liquid. When it's extracted, it's considered to be a liquid. There is a difference in the tumah, whether it's a food or it's a liquid, what the status of the tumah is, but the honey only becomes a status of a liquid. At what point? So the Mishnah brings a machlokes. This is the end of the tractate Uktzin, which is the last tractate in the Maseches Tare, which is the last Mishnah of the Seder Tareis. There is a machloikis between the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. At what point does the honey become liquid? So according to the Beis Hillel, the honey is liquid when you actually have a liquid. In other words, once it's extracted, once you crush the comb and you actually have a liquid, then when it's running, that's when it's a liquid. But according to Beis Shammai, there's actually two versions of Beis Shammai. He says the minute you thought that you're going to extract the honey from the combs, that honey already has the status of a liquid, because just by thinking. So even though it's only the potential, but still, that potential actually gets the status now as if it was a liquid. And the Rebbe brings this down to explain, because in a way, you have to ask yourselves a question. The Rebbe brings down from the Rambam and from the Kutta Torah, the Rebbe brings down what's the purpose of a soul coming down into this world? Why are we here in this world? We're here in this world because Hashem created us in this world. But is there a benefit for us? Or maybe Hashem creates us just for Him. Who's the one that benefits from creating people in the world? We say, like the Mishnah says from the Pasuk, Kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu ba'olamai le'bara ela l'chvaydei. God created everything for His glory. So why did Hashem create us over here? Did He create to benefit us, or He creates for Himself? you ask, what does Hashem need to create a world to benefit himself? What is he missing? Why did he need this world to create? Why did he have to bring us into this world? How are we adding anything to Hashem? And the answer is, as explained in Chassidus and in the Zohar, Hashem wanted to make for himself a place in this world, which means Hashem wants that despite the fact that the world doesn't appreciate Hashem on its own, we should reveal godliness into the world. It's sort of a game of hide and go seek. Hashem is hiding, and he created a world in which we don't see him. And he wants us to go seek and discover like Hashem is actually in this world. So that would be totally for Hashem. That will be, Hashem wants, he created the world for himself. But we know at the end of the day that a Yid, when it comes down to this world, he accomplishes a tremendous elevation to his soul and to his level. He goes up to a tremendous elevation. But the question is, for the person's elevation, if it's solely for the person's elevation, did we have to bring him down to this world? Because Hashem knows that eventually we're all going to do the right thing. I may not in this reincarnation, maybe another reincarnation, but at the end it says, "Lo yidach menu nidach," so we know that we're going to do the right things. Hashem knows that in the beginning. So potentially, our greatness that we reach by coming down into the world doesn't really need to happen to benefit us, because we can benefit the same thing before coming down into this world. Then the only reason why we come down into the world is for Hashem's glory. So Hashem should be in the world. We don't benefit, because if we go after the potential, like Beis Shammai said, the potential is there before we come down into the world. So then the whole world was created just for Hashem. But the Beis Hillel, potential is not enough. When we actually work and we service and we struggle and we go through all the challenges, that's when we actually reach. That's according to Beis Hillel. And the Rebbe brings this to the next, I know it's a little bit philosophical, but the Rebbe brings this to the next level, to the next Mishnah, which it says that in the future Hashem will give every tzaddik 310 worlds. And the Rebbe argues that's not a reward, because tzaddikim are not looking for reward. But the Rebbe says, it says, "Lahanchil oyev yesh." A tzaddik ends up connecting with Hashem, which means it's not a benefit for the person themselves, you know, which he could be elevated, but it's a benefit of connecting a person with Hashem through the Torah mitzvahs. He connects with the yesh HaMuchlat, as the Rebbe calls it there from the language of the Rambam, and the Yesh HaTmidi, the constant entity, the real entity, which is only Hashem. Through the Torah, it's not a reward, but rather this is an inheritance. This is a connection that you make with Hashem. I know these words seem a little bit lofty. That's in a detailed and in a very difficult, I'm saying, it's a sikh we studied, but just this idea, you know, we cannot satisfy ourselves with our potential. We got to do actually in practical, but just to finish up, we just celebrated Purim, and we just read the Parsha Zohar, so I think it's very important, you know, what we see going on in the world is for us to remember, because, and I'm talking about just for us as a people, you know, seemed like the Jewish people united, they were people doing mitzvahs, people were all into getting closer to Hashem, and everybody realized, but fortunately, time does its things. You know, people start the sympathy for Israel, our own involvement. You know, everybody's going back. How long can you be under this duress as a day after day? But I think the idea is, Zohar, we have to remember all the time, and we need to be able to hopefully see the end to all this violence. And you know, Hashem, the Mishnah finishes the Levorech Samri Basholim to grant us a level of peace so that we can live without fear and without the constant worries that we have, and hopefully we'll merit to see that be a complete victory, and be peace in the world and in Israel. So that's what we can ask for.